Hello, this is the Jazz Matters podcast. I'm Darren Harper. Thanks for joining me for episode 8. And once again, thank you for all the kind words and support from all of you who continue to enjoy what we do. This time out, we hear all about the brilliant Kansas Smitty's House Band from the frontman himself, Giacomo Smith. Jazzmatters.net is the place to find all previous episodes of the podcast, and I promise you, they are worth checking out. The Jazz Matters project continues to grow, and last week we were very excited to announce our first major live event, the Southend Jazz Festival. Taking place during October 2019, we're bringing a full six-day celebration of jazz to the seaside in Essex. For more information on this, you can head over to southendjazzfestival.com. But right now, let's listen to some music. The release of this episode was timed to coincide with the release of the Kansas Smitty's House Band's latest EP, Mardi Gras Volume 2. We'll hear more about that later and the band's desire to try new sounds, and with a strong soul-funk feel, this latest release is testament to that. But to start, I want to share some of what I believe is a taste of their real trademark sound. Just last month, Kansas Smitty's released their previous EP, Mardi Gras Volume 1, and from that recording, this is King Louie. Kansas Smitty's House Band was formed in 2013 by Jack Abraham and Giacomo Smith. Today you can find them resident in Kansas Smitty's Bar, their basement venue in Hackney. But it's important to note that at the time of their formation, there was in fact no house involved. Instead, the naming of the band was almost a signal of intent, an acknowledgement of what they wanted to achieve, and a home is so much more than just bricks and mortar.
I think every, you know, young band wants a home, you know? Whether that's their friend's parents' garage, or it's like somebody's living room with a piano in it, or it's, you know, a rehearsal studio at your school, or whatever it is, you need a place to kind of dump all your and be able to come back to it the next day and pick up where you left off and all that stuff. So, and you also want a place to kind of like contextualize your sound, you know? It's like, oh, well, we grew it in the garage, and it was a garage band, and that was the thing. And, you know, it's like, you know, the Beach Boys grew their band in their crazy father's garage. And so for us, calling it the Kansas Smitty's House Band was really the kind of basis for saying that Kansas Smitty's was a home for a given group of musicians, you know, it was a home for a scene. And that scene kind of really started out with 7 or 8 people that were playing in the initial lineup of the band, and wherever we kind of went into became their place, you know. So we did a few pop-ups around town, and we did gigs at, you know, the Peckham Liberal Club, and we did one up the road in Dalston and Gillett Square, and we used to play at the Servant Jazz Quarters, when we would roll in, we would very much kind of make the scene feel like Kansas Smitty's.
One of the wonderful things about Kansas Smitty's is the experimental feel of the band. They never seem afraid to try new sounds and flirt with different genres, but I think it's fair to say that their trademark sound is that classic jazz sound, from the early days of jazz in New Orleans or even Kansas City. And this in itself is a big thing. In an age where very modern musical influences are being fused with jazz with fantastic success, having a young, fashionable group of musicians showcasing a style of music viewed by many to be old hat really does break down barriers and make a whole classic sound more accessible to a new generation. This is something that clearly isn't lost on Giacomo.
At the time, we were really interested in swing, you know, playing swing music and trad, and kind of removing that speakeasy stigma from playing old music. Or like the scratchy record or the phonograph or the, you know, hats and spats. It's like, well, actually, that music is art on the highest order, you know? And all of the visual aesthetics of it were just visual aesthetics of the time. But, you know, there's no reason that somebody, you know, in a hoodie and sneakers can't play West End blues, because it's just as badass as it was 100 years ago.
4 years ago, the band moved into the basement of the Old Broadway Bar in Hackney, and the Kansas Smitty's dream was finally realised in full. And with their own venue came a new drive to really push their own original music. This was something Giacomo was very passionate about, as he sees producing new music as the very best way to keep jazz alive and current. So they spent many hours at their new home, creating the distinctive sound that the band has become known for. But having created a place where this band of young musicians could grow and develop, one of the really wonderful things about Kansas Smitty's and their ethos is that they deliberately choose not to keep all of this for themselves. A huge amount of time is given over, often for free, to other artists looking to develop projects or try new things, either with the house band or without. Speaking to Giacomo about this particular point really was inspiring and perfectly summed up what makes Kansas Smitty's such an important part of the current jazz scene.
We host lots of bands here that we try to nurture and help grow, and lots of individual musicians that will come down here and rehearse for free and use the space to work on their own sound. And we really like to be part of that creative process for other people, and kind of say, look, we we're doing this ourselves, but there's no reason you can't do it as well. It's not like it's an exclusive club where nobody else can come in, you know? So if there's one thing that I've witnessed and learned from being around people that are, you know, successful creatives, are successful in almost any field, is that if you make something good, you should give it away, you know? If you make something good and you've just started making it, give it away. Give away the idea. Give away the kind of, we're in music and art. We're not making, you know, iPhones. It's not like somebody's going to just immediately start making them and put their own name on it. But there's kind of a really powerful thing in that, you know, is instead of saying, okay, we've created this, you know, this little bar that's like our own little place and we're just going to keep it to ourselves. I really think that, you know, art is social, you know. If you want to grow your own and make your thing that you've made better, you want to take inspiration from everybody. And it's effectively what you're trying to do is nurture a scene, right? Because a scene can have real artistic impact, you know? If you're just one, being one in a sea of many is not a very powerful position to be in. But being a school of something in a pool is all of a sudden something that people can notice and kind of interact with.
At the club, the flagship night is Basement Tapes Night. This is the night where members of the band and others associated with it can use the space to grow a new idea or project and put it to an audience. Giacomo is quite clear about the artistic benefits to the house band, where members branch out and take opportunities to work with other people on other projects. At Kansas Smitty's, having fingers in many pies is not something that is just accepted, it's actively encouraged as part of the very ethos of the project. And yet, despite all the time spent on the development of new artists, bands and ideas, the house band still find time to create, record and release an incredible amount of new music. In 2018 alone, they released their album, Broadway 2018, and pushed out separate EPs at three-month intervals throughout the year, titled Spring, Summer, Autumn and Winter. Then, as they came into 2019, we saw the release of a new EP, Mardi Gras Volume 1, and on the 18th of April 2019, Mardi Gras Volume 2, was released to the public. I was interested to know the thought process behind this. In an internet age where it's so much easier for artists to record and release music, often without the might of a record label behind them, did Kansas Smitty's feel the need to push out frequent releases in order to keep them at the forefront of the jazz scene, to continue to be noticed? Was it a case that they were simply so full of creativity that they were just releasing music as quickly as they could write and record it? Or was it neither of these things? Is it just a case of them doing things the Kansas Smitty's way without too much concern over a particular strategy?
Releasing music is a funny thing, you know, uploading music to Spotify. I mean, it's a lot easier now for people to put a lot of stuff up a lot more often because it just lives on the internet, you know? And I think the reason that I want to kind of spearhead this like regular release of music, and it's, you know, funny to hear you say it seems, you know, kind of really frequent and kind of like we're putting out music all the time. To me, it's like the dead zones between the releases are like, you know, huge to me because, you know, one thing that you asked that I really like is, do you have to put out a lot of music to keep the band in the public eye? And that's not my reason for doing it, for sure. I think for me, it's much more selfish in terms of the agenda of the band, which is that the sheer nature of jazz is that you want to be spontaneous all the time. To me, the central, you know, ethos of jazz is to improvise, right? That's what we do. That's the thing that we do the most. And it's really exciting for a jazz musician to get to improvise in lots of different styles, you know? And that's something that having a house band in a bar means that you can do, because you're always, you know, if you complete the picture, it's like, well, What I think is cool about this place is that, you know, what you said about the band doing a lot of different styles, it's like it's synthesized here at the bar. It's the same lineup of people, you know, so you already have two constants there, right? And it has this kind of, you know, all of it, whether it's a soul funk tune or trad inspired rag or a Blue Note kind of hard bop tune or something from New Orleans or whatever it might be, it has that kind of Kansas Smitty's feel and the same lineup. And then an audience member is like, yeah, I'll go with that. It's like, doesn't really matter what the genre is. Doesn't matter that it sounds more like Sam Cooke than it sounds like Sam Rivers. You know what I mean? And so I'm really trying to create the trust from the audience that listens to our music, which we're very fortunate is a very receptive group of people. Create the trust that we won't make anything bad, you know? And okay, can't promise that all the time, but it's important for us, if we're going to be trying out all these different things, to not sit on them for too long. So if we get in the studio once every 4 months and we're getting this stuff happening, then it means that we don't have to stress out about every detail being just right, because it's a work in progress, right? And that's what I was saying before about giving stuff away. It's like you get a thing to a point where you're ready to share it. If you do that process and then you wait a year before you put it out, you spend that whole year listening to it thinking, oh man, I wish I hadn't done that. But if you just get rid of it, if you just give it away, then everybody can move on. And then you end up with kind of a spontaneous creative schedule of a band that, well, in a lot of ways is kind of shucking the jazz, you know, stronghold and saying, well, yeah, we play jazz, but actually we're the house band of a venue. And we like to play lots of different kinds of music for lots of different audiences. That's fair enough, isn't it?
You're listening to the Jazz Matters podcast at jazzmatters.net.
So in just 6 years, Kansas Smitty's House Band have grown from a band of young musicians with big ambitions to an actual house band of a brilliant little basement jazz club in Hackney, East London, with an already extensive collection of recorded music and an ever-growing reputation as a real powerhouse on the jazz scene, both in the UK and beyond. I was interested to know, what were the marker posts for Giacomo? What were the events that made him take stock of what they had achieved and realise that something really special was happening? Giacomo's passion for the project is clear to see, and I have no doubt that we are going to see even bigger and better things from them in the future. But speaking of the future, it's impossible to believe that Kansas Smitty's would not have any immediate plans, so I also wanted to get an inside look into what we might be seeing from them over the next 12 months.
There have certainly been a few moments over the years where you think, okay, this is a really, I don't know. I can't say that when you're doing it, you never, I mean, I feel like when I feel like I've arrived, that's probably the time to stop. So I've been really lucky to do some, you know, I've been lucky enough to perform with and on stages, you know, with people on stages that I've been kind of in awe of for many years. But when you're doing it, it's not kind of like the feeling of relief that you've arrived. It's a feeling of, one, oh, this is great, I don't really want it to end. That's kind of the most amazing feeling, because you think, okay, it's like you're free falling, you know, you've kind of gone up and you're just in this like euphoric state of something that you know is like short-lived and you've worked really hard to get there. But you know that it's gonna, you know, the tune's gonna end and your solo is gonna be over and that's it. So it's, I guess a few of the highlights obviously were, you know, this isn't stuff that I necessarily got to do with the house band, but, you know, playing at the Royal Albert Hall with Guy Barker and playing at the Barbican and at, you know, Jazz at Lincoln Center with the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra. You know, those were kind of two things last year that were a huge deal. And when they were going on, I wasn't thinking, oh, this is it, you know, I've made it, this is great, you know, I'm here, I'm just gonna tell the world. It was kind of like, wow, this is really good music, you know? This is actually, it's really nice to know that when you get to play with a hero of yours or a group of heroes of yours, that they're actually as good as you thought they were, sometimes better, you know? And that's a really humbling experience. And so that was great. And obviously I got to do the Lincoln Center thing with Adrian. So it was, it just felt like this amazing kind of, for Smitty's as a band, it felt like a real point of pride for me that we both did that together. You know, that was a really, I couldn't have imagined doing it with anybody else, really. You know, it was really, to be able to share that was huge. But then there have been things, you know, here at the bar, you know, every time we play here as a house band and it's sold out, that gives me as much sense of accomplishment as playing, you know, at the Royal Albert Hall, because it just means that people believe in what we do, and it means that I want to keep doing it, because I art doesn't exist in a vacuum. You know, you have to kind of, you have to bring people in on your side, on the stage side, and you really want to bring people in on the audience side too. You want them to be there, and you want people to interact with it and give you enthusiasm back, because that's the fuel for the fire. You know, whenever we do a house band gig here, and I don't know the exact stats, but I would say that we've never not sold one out. I think that's true. And usually we do two houses. So that feels great. And we're definitely going to continue doing that. But the wider horizon for the band is to collaborate with more people. And it's that idea of bringing people in. I'm really excited about, you know, bringing in different instrumentalists and different singers and different producers and different people to work with us and maybe push us further in a direction that we've already gone, or push us in a different direction, or say, well, look, you know, you're really good at this. Maybe you can do this with me. So one of those people is Guy Barker, who we've already worked with in the past, but we're looking at a project with him for next year where he's going to kind of orchestrate our stuff for a bigger ensemble, which is super exciting. Yeah, that's kind of the number one for 2020, is Symphonic Smitty's.
Down the troubled water.
Right on, right on.
Hate to say you're gonna meet your maker.
Right on, right on.
There's help to pay for all this misbehavior. From the one created.
Right on, right on.
So don't go asking me to come back later.
Right on, right on.
'Cause you're coming on a journey with me.
Right on, right on.
And you're gonna solve the final mystery.
Right on, right on.
Ooh, I'm promising you the savior.
He's promising you the savior.
But don't you wanna meet the rebel?
For free.
with me.
Our second and final track of this episode, that was Ride On, taken from the brand new EP from the Kansas Middies house band Mardi Gras Volume 2. And that is all we have time for in this episode. I would like to extend my thanks to Giacomo Smith for giving up his time to take part in this episode, and to the team at Kansas Smitties for having me as their guest at the EP's launch party on the 18th of April. If you haven't yet been to the house band show at Kansas Smitties, I highly recommend it. If you have been, get in touch and let us know if you love the place as much as I do. The place to find out more about Kansas Smitties is on their website, kansassmitties.com, where you will also find links to download their music, including Mardi Gras Volumes 1 and 2. You can find them across social media, and as always, links to these can be found in the podcast show notes. If you're in and around the southeast of England, don't forget to check out southendjazzfestival.com or follow the festival announcements across social media, where you will also find all of the Jazz Matters accounts. If you're enjoying the podcast, don't forget to rate and review wherever you can, or just get in touch and let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. We filled the schedule for the next 2 months with some really exciting guests, so make sure you stay tuned. But until next time, thank you and goodbye.